Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So this morning we are going to speak from that third verse, the C part of it. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can you say that back to me, please? Say it again. Amen. And so I'm talking this morning about the father of our faith. The father of our faith. Amen. The father of our faith. With an emphasis, a subtitle of first responders. Amen. First responders. Can everybody say first responders?
First responders.
Say the father of our faith.
The father of our faith.
Say first responders.
First responders.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. It's one thing as we recognize those nurses. Amen. We wanted to use this title, the first responders. But tie that in with Abraham himself to clarify what we how we understand him being called the father of our faith. It's one thing to be a part of a race, but it's another thing to start one. Amen. It's another thing to give birth to one. It's another thing to give beliefs to one. It's another thing to be the father of our faith. And the aim of our sermon, or the purpose of it, is for us to see how it is that Abraham is called the father of our faith. And secondly, to see how Abraham got saved. Amen. Why was he called the father of our faith, and how he got saved? Are two things that is the aim for this message. Now, when we define a responder, we know the responder is usually someone who is first to arrive, amen, and to provide assistance, usually in a crisis situation. But they are the first responders. It can be the paramedics. It can be, amen, it can be the fire department. It can be the police. Or even the military or Red Cross, depending on the situation. They are the first to respond. And so this morning, we talk about the father of our faith because we know that Abraham is called the father of our faith, but how is he called the father of our faith? Because we do know he didn't always have faith. Abraham did not always have perfect faith. But how could he acquire the title of being called the father of our faith? And we want to focus on that because we know that Abraham did not always trust God to provide. Because when there was a famine, when he got into the land that God told him to go to, he went down to Egypt. And the Bible says, "War is them that go down to Egypt for help." He did not trust God in the land where he had taken him, so he went down to Egypt for help. How is he called the father of faith? He didn't always trust God to provide. He did not always trust God to protect him. Amen. He did not always trust God to protect him, because we find that he told his wife, amen, in verse 13 of this chapter 12, to when we get to where we're going, when we get to Egypt, say that you are my sister. Amen. And that way I'll be saved alive. Abraham did not always trust God to protect him. Abraham did not always trust God's promises, that God would keep all of his promises. Amen? Because we know that after being promised a child, God told him that he would give him a child, and what do we find him doing? We find him in Genesis 16 and 3 with another woman. A woman suggested to him by his wife, since she was infertile, she wanted Hagar, the Egyptian, to bear him a child. And so 10 years they had been in Canaan. You know, sometimes it gets hard to wait on God, doesn't it? So if you're not careful, you'll take matters in your own hands. And this was a mistake. And they got tired of waiting on God. Maybe you're here today and you're tired of waiting on God. Amen. And you don't know what to do. And that's the wrong time to do something. Amen. You may not know what to do, but you know what not to do. Don't do anything at this point. Amen. But he's called the father of our faith. Amen. And as we think about that, we think about we consider him as the father. We consider him as the first. We consider him, amen, consider focusing our focus. And I want us to consider our faith. Amen. And the father, the first, the focus, the faith. We talk about the father. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, that Abraham is called the father of our faith. It is established that he is called the father of our faith. Because it says in chapter 4, Romans verse 11, that he is the father of all them that believe. He is the father of all them that believe. And the Bible says that we are to follow in his steps of faith. We are to follow in the steps of Abraham. And this is important because he was the father of our faith, and he was the father of our faith. Amen. And it was not something that we should overlook. It is something that we should recognize. Amen. Abraham, it was not about law. Amen. Amen. Abraham obeyed God. But when you look at Romans chapter 4, verse 11, what you find out is the debate there deals with, are we saved by law or are we saved by faith? And the writer there tries to prove to us that Abraham had faith before he was circumcised. Amen. So it does not require or mean that you should be under the law. Amen. Abraham had faith to those who were circumcised and to those who were not circumcised. And what we find in Romans 4:12 is that he was in Genesis 15 and 6, that the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. The Bible tells us in Genesis 17:24 that Abraham didn't get circumcised until he was 99 years old. 99 years old. But he was given faith in Genesis 15 about 20 years earlier. So it ain't got nothing to do with the law. He was declared righteous before he got circumcised. Amen. You all are a good group. Amen. Y'all, I sometimes think y'all not keeping up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. So he was. Amen. Now the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, that from Abraham sprang from one person, a whole nation came. From one person, a whole nation came. And the Bible says that therefore sprang there even of one of him that was good as dead. Abraham was 99 years old, and yet he still was as good as dead, but he still had a child. He impregnated his wife. There is hope, amen. And he and it came from one person. It was born of one man. And they were as the sand of the sea, they were as the stars of the sky, innumerable. Too many to count. And so the NLT says it this way. Amen. Since we don't have, I didn't get it to the screen. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. Hebrews 11 and 12. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Amen. So God went ahead and changed his name. We know it's Abram, but it was called Abraham. It was changed in Genesis 17:5, and his wife was changed in Genesis 17:15. He moved from Abram to Abraham, and she moved from Sarai to Sarah. And so now we say this because we do know that Abraham, prior to this, were in idolatry. Abraham, this who brought this whole nation, was in idolatry. Joshua 24:2, the latter part tells us that they served other gods. They served idol gods. You have to be careful about serving idol gods. Because behind every idol, there's either one of two things, either the devil or a demon. And there's something drawing you to that. And so you have to be careful about serving. And Abraham served idol gods. And before God called him. How do you know God called him? Well, we look at Acts chapter 7. You don't have to turn to all these, but Acts chapter 7, verse number 2 tells us that the Lord appeared unto Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, or Mesopotamia. God appeared. He didn't just speak to him. He appeared to him. He showed up. In Ur of the Chaldees, he appeared. And he showed up. And that's when Abraham was called. And he left Ur of the Chaldees. He went to Haran. Then he came down to the Canaan land. But the point I want to make up is that he was called out of a place that was filled with idolatry. I read this section and I quote the Bible Expositor's commentary on the Pentateuch. It says, and it's talking about idols and about worshiping idols, and it says that man had substituted idols for the true and living God. Amen. Idolatry led to immorality and indecency. And before long, the Gentile world was so corrupt that God had to give it up. Then he called Abraham the first Jew and made a new beginning. unquote. Abraham, the first Jew. Abraham, the first Jew. And if you're not careful, but you can't get hung up on Abraham. That's why we move from our father. When we move from the father, we move on to the him being the first Jew. He was the first to respond. Amen. Abraham was the first to respond to the gospel message. And we know that was the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, but this is the first sermon. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. He was the first. And if you're not careful, you can get caught up on him. You can't lose focus. Amen. On the physical race. Because what Abraham started was a spiritual race. Amen. Abraham started a spiritual race. And you can't lose focus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, John the Baptist tells those scribes and Pharisees, he says, "Think not to say to yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers." As good as Abraham is, don't base your salvation on just because you kin to Abraham biologically, because it is not the physical seed or the physical race that is important. It is the spiritual race. Amen. You can be born to Abraham. That's not going to send you to heaven just because you are born Jew. You got to be born again. The Living Bible says it this way. Don't try to get by as you are thinking. We are safe, for we are Jews. Amen. We are safe because we are Jews. We are descendants of Abraham. That's what they said. And John the Baptist said, that proves nothing. God can change these stones into Jews. Amen. It does not make any sense. God will change these stones into Jews. So it does not matter about your physical race. It is the spiritual race that is important. You can be kin to Abraham. Amen. But you got to be more than being biologically kin to him. You got to be born again. You got to respond to the gospel. And that's what the message is for us here this morning. We've got to respond to the gospel. Amen. Amen. Notice his response. I'm talking about Abraham's response. God told Abraham in this verse, chapter 12, verse 3c, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And what happened is Abraham responded. Amen. He responded. Abraham departed. He told him to do something in verse 4, and Abraham departed. He was obedient. He acted by faith. Abraham was obedient. And the Bible tells us that he responded. Now, what we got to understand here this morning is simply that Abraham, if you look at Genesis, well, let me just say this first. When we talk about the father of our faith, it means that he was the first one who responded to the promise. Amen. He himself responded. He was the first responder. He was the first one to respond to the gospel message. "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And he departed believing what God had said. Well, he was the first responder to that which foreshadowed the gospel. Now, we talk about Abraham's faith. Yes, he had lapse of faith. He didn't believe God would protect him. He didn't believe God would provide. He did not believe always in God's promises. He did not have perfect faith. But we find out in Genesis chapter 22 that we find him responding to that which was most important. In chapter 22, verse 2, he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, and get thee up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering." Amen. Offer him as a burnt offering. Amen. Amen. And upon the mountain which I tell thee of. Abraham is called the father of our faith because of what he did there. He offered up a son that was going to be supposed to be the future race. It's just like if I told you that I'm going to have a future race and I only have one boy, and God said, kill the boy that you're supposed to have a future race with. I mean, why would I do that? Why would I kill the boy that I have, and he's supposed to be the one I'm going to get the future race through? Have you ever been, have God ever put you in a bind? Lord, you're telling me to take the son who's supposed to be the one who's going to give me the future race? I don't have, he said, take now thy son, thy only son. This wasn't his only son. Ishmael. He had Ishmael, but Ishmael represented the flesh. But Isaac represented faith. Ishmael represented human works. But Isaac represented supernatural works. One represented humanity, the other one represented that which was heavenly. He was going to kill him. He was about to kill him. If you listen to that other sermon, you'll get the gist of this. Now, he had been told in Genesis 21:12 that through Isaac shall thy seed be. Now, if we look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 17, it says that when God tested Abraham, it was faith that led him to offer his son Isaac. Abraham, the one who received the promise to God that he would give him a future race, was willing to offer his only son for a sacrifice. In order to do that, he had to have faith. He was about to, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18 and 19, God had said to him, through Isaac, your descendants will carry on your name. Through Isaac, aren't you telling me to kill Isaac? But Abraham believed that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. Yes, 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 yes. Right. What did Abraham believe in? The gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is about the death and resurrection. Abraham had to believe in the death and resurrection before he could kill his son. Isn't that? I don't think. Yeah. So what we, and so I'm gonna come back at it. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna take another route. Now the fact of the matter is, Abraham had to be leaving the gospel himself. Now we know that Isaac was a type or foreshadowed Jesus. In other words, Isaac was a type of Christ. Isaac, thy only son. Amen. Amen. We going on a 3 days journey? Is it getting close? The father gave his only son on a 3-day journey, and he had to believe that he would die and be risen. If that ain't the gospel, I don't know what is. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And Abraham responded by faith when he was about to take his son's life. And he had to, and that's what you and I have to do to go to heaven. We have to believe in the death and resurrection of his son. Abraham responded, and that's what gave him his claim to fame. It was not those other incidents, but it was when he offered his son was a response to the gospel. And that's how we're saved. It was his dramatic act of faith that got him saved, and that entitling him now to this title, the father of our faith. He's the father of our faith because he got it right in the right place. Amen. Some people make a lot of mistakes, but they get it right in the right places. Amen. Amen. I often say this, you know, about my wife. I said, and since she's ain't here, I may not say it the next service. I said, my wife may not be perfect, but she got it right in the right places. There's a lot of things you can look at and you say, no. But she got it right in the right place. And because it got it right in the right place, all those others didn't matter. Because she got it right in the right place. That's the main thing that's holding the whole thing together. Amen. A lot of things wrong, but right on the main thing. And that'll hold everything intact. Have I got a witness? And so the truth of the matter is that you got to get it right in the right place. Abraham was not perfect. He had faults. He had flaws. He faltered, but he got it right on this one. Abraham believed. Now, you may think I made this up. And if I had on the screen, you could see it for yourself. But if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, what you will find is this. Galatians says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach what? The gospel unto Abraham. Now, Jackie, when was the gospel preached to Abraham? I'm asking a question. When was that? I'd like to know. We ain't got time to talk about it. I would like to know when the gospel was preached to Abraham. Now, that's interesting. Because we know that the gospel didn't come until the New Testament. But according to Paul, Galatians chapter 3, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's you and me, through faith, preach the gospel unto Abraham. That's what he said. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. When? Oh, here it is right here. When he said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.